Joseph saw to what offending of his these words had reference, and his head and lower lip hung down like a chidden child's. But a smile hid behind his expression of half-pouting repentance, for he was aware that Jacob's description of the customs of Mizraim was full of prejudice, exaggeration, and easy generalities. He waited in humility, but seeing his father insisted on an answer, he lifted up his eyes appealingly, seeking in the old man's face the first sign of a smile, trying to lure one out by cautious overtures, by alternate advance and retreat, by gravity and gaiety in turn. "If these be indeed the ways of Mizraim, my dear lord, then God forbid that this ignorant child of thine should call them good. But indeed, to me, it seemeth that the skill of those old dung-beetles in weaving linen, so that it is like air for fineness, might speak for them provisionally on the other side. And in that they have no shame of their flesh, it might be said to their excusing, by one ready in indulgence, that they are mostly spare of habit and lean in body, fat flesh having more occasion to feel shame than dry. And indeed—" But now it was Jacob's turn to be serious. He interposed on a voice wherein impatient chiding strove with tenderness. "Thou speakest as a child. Thou knowest how to set thy words together, and thy speech is beguiling like a camel dealer's when he would bargain to his profit. But its sense is utterly childish. I would not believe that thou mockest my anxiety that maketh me to tremble, lest thou displease our God and stir up his anger against thee and Abraham's seed. Mine eyes have seen how thou sattest naked beneath the moon, as though the Highest had not given us in our hearts the knowledge of sin, and as though the nights of spring were not cool upon these heights after the heat of the day, so that an evil flux might fall upon thee overnight, and fever take away thy sense before cock-crow. Therefore will I that thou puttest straightway thy upper garment about thee, according to the religion of the children of Shem. For it is woolen, and a wind goeth from Gilead, and I will that thou shouldst grieve me not, for mine eyes have seen more than this, and I am in great fear that they saw thee kiss thy hand at the stars." "By no means," cried Joseph, aghast. He had sprung up from the margin of the well to put on the knee-length brown and yellow smock, which his father had taken and held out to him. But the sudden movement and erect posture seemed to express his repudiation of the old man's charge, which must be refuted at all costs, and with all means. Let us take careful note, for everything here was highly significant. Jacob's habit of thinking in many layers and involved associations was shown in the way he included three reproaches in one: lack of care of the health, lack of modesty, and religious backsliding. The last was the deepest and worst layer of the combined anxieties, and Joseph, his arms in the sleeves of his smock, the opening of which, in his excitement, he could not find, took on the battle as he did his garment, as if to illustrate the importance in his eyes of denying a course of conduct which at the same time he went about most cunningly to justify. "Never, by no means," he asseverated, while his beautiful and well-favored head found its way through the opening in the smock. And with intent to convince still more by the choiceness of his phrases, he added, "My father's mind is, I assure him, most grievously darkened by error." He twitched his shoulders to settle his smock, and pulled it down with both hands, snatched the disheveled myrtle wreath from his head and cast it aside, then began, without looking, to pull at the strings that tied the garment below the neck. "Kiss my hand? I know nothing of it. How could I think of committing so evil a deed? Let my dear lord but consider my failings. He will see that they do not tally. I gazed upwards, certainly, that is the truth. I saw the light shining, the splendid rays streaming. And mine eyes, wounded by the fiery darts of the sun, bathed in the mild radiance of the frame of the night. For thus saith the song, and passeth from mouth to mouth among men, thee, sin, made he to shine, the times to establish, the changes of season, To night thee he wedded, and with splendor he crowned thy high consummation. He chanted the words, standing one step higher than his father, with upraised hands. At each half verse he bent his body, first to one side and then to the other. Shapatu, said he, that is the day of the solemn consummation, the day of beauty. It is not far off. By one or two morrows it will be here. Yet not even on the holy Sabbath day would it occur to me to send the time decider even the smallest and most secret kiss. For it is not said that it shines by its own light, but that he made it to shine, and gave it the crown. Who? Asked Jacob in a low voice. Who made it to shine? Marduk Bel, cried Joseph rashly, but followed up the word by a long drawn out and an expiatory headshake. He went on, as they call him in the tales, but it is, as my lord needs not to learn from his foolish child, the lord of all gods, stronger than the Anunnaki and Baals of all the peoples, the god of Abraham, who slew the dragon and created the threefold world. When he turns away in his wrath, he turns not his face again, and when he is wroth, no other god goeth up against his fury. Magnanimous is he, and all-wise. Sinners and blasphemers are a stench unto his nostrils, but to him who went up out of the land of Ur, unto him he hath inclined, and made a bond with him that he will be the god of him and his seed. And his blessing is come upon Jacob, my lord, to whom also the beautiful name and title of Israel belong, and who is a great harbinger of the Lord, and full of insight, and far from so ill instructing his children that they would take it on themselves to throw kisses to the stars, since such should appertain unto the Lord alone, always supposing it were fitting to throw kisses to him, whereas that is so little the case that one might almost say it were better by comparison to throw them to the bright stars. But though this might be said, yet do I not say it. And if I have even carried a finger to my mouth in the way of hand-kissing, then may I never carry it there again, rather let me starve. And indeed I will eat no more, but rather choose to be hungry, if my father doth not at once sit down comfortably on the ledge beside his son. For my lord standeth much too long upon his feet, seeing that he hath a holy weakness of his thigh, come by in so high and strange a way, as is well known unto all. He ventured to step down to the old man, and cautiously put an arm about his shoulder, convinced that he had charmed and soothed him by his prattle. And Jacob, who had stood plunged in meditation on the divine, fingering the little cylindrical seal which hung down on his breast, yielded to the gentle pressure, put his foot upon the step, and let himself down on the margin of the well, resting his staff in the hollow of his arm, smoothing his garment, and in his turn looking up at the moon, as it lighted his aging majesty and mirrored itself in the shrewd and anxious chestnut-brown eyes. Joseph sat down at his feet, by way of completing the picture he had already drawn. He felt his father's hand upon his hair, moving slowly to and fro in a stroking movement, of which the old man was probably unconscious. And in a lower voice he went on, "Behold, it is lovely and pleasant thus, and I could sit through all the watches of the night, as indeed I have often longed to do. My lord gazeth up into the countenance of his lord, and I in my turn, with the liveliest pleasure, into his, that I behold as a countenance of a god, and that is illuminated by the reflected light. But hast thou not seen the face of my hairy uncle Esau like the face of the moon, when all unhoped he met thee so gentle and brotherly by the ford, as thou hast reported unto me? But that too was but a mild reflection on his hot and hairy face, the reflection of thy countenance, which is like the moon's to look upon, and the shepherd Abel's, whose sacrifice was pleasing unto the Lord, and not like Cain's and Esau's, whose faces are like the ploughed field when the sun breaks it up, and like the clod when it gathers sighs from the drought. Yea, thou art Abel, the moon, and the shepherd, and all thine. We are shepherds and people of the sheep, not people of the sun, the husbandman, like the peasants who sweat behind the plough and behind the ox of the plough, and pray to the Baal of their land. But we look up to the Lord of the way, the wanderer, who rises there in garment of shining white. But tell me, he went on, hardly stopping to draw breath, did not Abraham our father depart in anger from Ur and Chaldea, and leave behind him in his wrath the moon citadel of his city, because the lawgiver mightily exalted his god Marduk, who is the burning fiery sun, and set him up above all the gods of Shinar, to the vexation of the people of Sin? And tell me likewise, do not his people out there call him Shem when they would exalt him, the same as Noah's son was called, whose children are black but comely, as Rachel was, and abide at Elam, Asher, Arpaxed, Lud, and Edom? Listen and hear, for a thought cometh unto thy child. Was not the wife of Abraham called Sahar, which is the moon? For lo, I will make thee a little reckoning. 7 times 50 days are the days of the year, and 4 over. But in every month are 4 days when men do not see the moon. Let my Lord take away, then, if it please him, these 3 times 12 from those 354, leaving 318 days of the visible moon. Now there were 318 trained servants born in Abram's own house, with whom Abram smote the kings of the east, and pursued them beyond Damascus, and brought again his brother Lot out of the hand of Chedorlaomer the Elamite. Lo, so hath Abiram our father loved the moon, and so sacred to him was its shining, that he counted his servants for the battle precisely according to the days of its giving light. Then, supposing I had kissed my hand 318 times, whereas I did so not even once, would that have been so great a sinning? The Testing. Thou art shrewd, said Jacob, and the hand that had stood still during the reckoning began to move again less absently over Joseph's head. Thou art shrewd, Yashub, my son. Thy head is outwardly beautiful and well-favored, as Mami's was. He used the pet name which Joseph had given Rachel, the earthly and familiar name of Ishtar, of Babylonian origin. And within it is godly and wise. So lively was mine, too, when I counted no more than thy years. But it is weary from the events, not only from the new, but from the old, which have come upon us, and which give it cause to ponder, and from the troubles and the inheritance. For the words of the Lord are not clear. For his countenance may be mild to look upon, but also it is like the burning fiery brand, and it destroyed Sodom with fire, and man goeth through the fire of the Lord to purify himself. The devouring flame is he that consumeth the feast of the first of the flock at the feast of the equinox outside of the tent, when it grows dark, and we sit within with trembling, and eat of the lamb, whose blood stains the doorposts, because the avenger passeth over. He broke off, and his hand slipped down from Joseph's head. The lad looked up, and saw that his father's face was covered with his hands, and that he was shaking. "What hath come to my lord?" he cried, dismayed, and flinging himself round, he put up his hands to his father's hands without daring to touch them. He had to wait and to speak again. Only with hesitation did Jacob change his posture. When he uncovered his face, it looked lined and consumed with grief, and the woeful eyes stared past the boy into space. "I thought upon the Lord with trembling," he said, and his lips seemed scarcely able to move. "It was as though my hand were the hand of Abraham, and lay upon Yitzhak's head, as though his voice went out upon me, and his command.
His command? Joseph asked, challenging him with a quick, bird-like motion of the head.
The command and the precept. Thou knowest it, since thou knowest the tales, answered Jacob in a resigned tone, sitting bowed over with his forehead against the hand that held the staff. And I hearkened, for is he less than Melech, the bull king of Baalim, to whom they bring the firstborn of men in their need, and in secret feast give the child into his arms? And shall he not demand from his own what Melech demands from those who believe on him? Then demanded he it, and I heard his voice, and spoke, Behold, here I am. And my heart stood still, and my breath went from me. And I saddled an ass early in the morning, and took thee with me. For thou wast Isaac, my late-born and first-born, and the Lord smiled upon us when thou wast announced, and wast my one and all, and upon thy head lay all the future. And now he demanded thee of me, as was his right, but contrary to the future. Then I clave wood for the burnt offering, and laid it upon the ass, and set the child thereon, and rose up with two young men 3 days distant from Beersheba, far down towards Edom, and the land of Mizraim, and towards Horeb, his mountain. And when I saw the mountain of the Lord from afar, and the peak of the mountain, I sent the ass back with the young men, and took the fire in my hand, and a knife, and we went alone. And when thou spakest to me, and said, My father, then I could not say, Here am I, my son, but instead moaned in my throat. And when thou in thy voice saidest, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Then could I not answer as I should, that the Lord would provide himself a lamb. For I was sick within me, so that I could have spat out my soul with tears, and moaned again, so that thou lookest at me as thou wentest beside me. And when we came to the place, I builded an altar of stone, and laid the wood in order, and bound the child, and laid him upon it, and took the knife with my left hand, and covered thy two eyes. And when I drew the knife, and the edge of the knife against thy throat,